Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Welcome, everyone. I'm January Jones, and this is my co-host, Ginger, who's going to be helping me do my shows from now on. She's 5 months old, and she's a golden doodle, and she's in the process of training us. And I have to tell you, she's doing a really, really good job. She'll come back and say goodbye to everyone at the end of the show. Now she's going to go take a nap, I hope. We don't know. Who knows what she's going to do? Now for my listeners, welcome again. And would you like to learn more about what it's like to be a humorist during a pandemic? And as you know, a pandemic is a pretty challenging time to find humor in our lives. And I know it's something that we've all tried very hard to do, and we've worked at it. Now, have you ever wondered what it'd be like to write about humorous topics? And I can tell you it's harder than you think. Humor is most difficult to do for some reason. Now, would you like to meet someone who has actually created a career as a woman humorist? Would you like to try laughter as you cope with your own life during these difficult times? Tell me, are you ready to make some big changes in your life and learn some helpful lessons? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So now it's time to sit back and relax. You can go get some wine, get some crackers, and join me in the no wine zone. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest. She is a humorist, and she has been doing this for many years, and she's a very successful person at this. I've had her on the show many times, and we've talked about a lot of her experiences. She's now entered retirement, which is a whole other topic, subject for her to share with us and talk about and find humor in. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Bobby White. Hi, Bobby. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. Thanks for asking me to be on your show, January.
I've been looking forward to it. It's always fun to have you on the show. We've shared so many experiences. I was thinking how long I've known you, and oh my gosh, it's been years. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun to follow your career. And tell us a little bit about where you were, what was happening in your life, when the pandemic hit.
Okay. I was in my last year of banking. 2020 was the last year. I worked 40 years, and I had planned on, I had my 40th anniversary with the bank on June 2nd, 2020, and my on June 17th that month, and I was going to retire on the 30th, like the perfect trifecta, right?
Yeah.
And as the pandemic proceeded to be bigger than all of us, Jeff remembered something his dad had told us, and he said, he always told us never to do anything, any make any changes that are quite large if we're unsure with what's happening. And so we weren't sure if our children, who are grown, would be essential workers, would keep their jobs, would they lose their jobs. And so we decided that keep working until we had a little bit more clarity. So it turned out we were all essential workers in four industries. So then I just worked at my job until December that year. I kept working. Working in banking, when you're in the lobby, like front line, and close your lobby is a real experience. And it was good from a standpoint. Had such many fewer, but hectic in a different way. So we're kind of in the process of retraining our clientele to use online and drive up and all of that. So it was kind of fun for a while. One of my teachers had gotten COVID, and out of a staff of 11, eight of us had quarantine. I was one. Never forget today, and she's like, "And you're out. You're out." But we had no choice. So I've got like 3 weeks left to work, and I'm like, I'm going to die. I just know I'm going to die. But I worked from home, which was different because I had never done that before. One of the guys prop work off every day and then pick work up every day, and because a lot of mine was hard paper. So that was the year I retired. It was eventful.
Yeah. Well, it kind of just hit everyone like a tsunami in this country. And everyone was just trying to regroup and get their bearings and figure out what comes next. None of us knew as far as the things that were being put in place, the masks, the quarantines. Very difficult. Now, was it, could you find any humor in what we were going through? I'm sure you must have looked.
I think the best thing during the pandemic at our desk, they put up the plexiglass, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you deal with the public, and you deal with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And some of them like to climb across the desk when they want to switch their information on the computer. Don't smell well. And so that was probably the best thing, was like, I hope they never take you down.
Yeah.
Made it so much more enjoyable.
And so much more hygienically productive. Yeah.
And the tellers as well. I mean, my desk is wide, but the tellers, they loved theirs because people could really get in their face before pandemic. And so I think it was a good thing. It was good. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have a desk.
Now, so then you postponed your retirement till December. And then did you, in December, actually do retire, or how did that play out?
Yep. So I had a week of vacation planned the last week of the month. And so then my last day of work was December 22nd. And it was a Tuesday, and I had vacation days after that, so I was done.
Yeah.
They let me out of the door Tuesday afternoon. It could have been any day of my whole life. It was so undramatic, so low. There was like nothing happening. We couldn't have a party, and they usually have a big fanfare and roast the retiree and all that. And I didn't care so much about that. As good a sense of humor as I had, I really didn't care so much. So it's just like I left on a Tuesday, never came back. It was very odd.
very low key departure.
Very, very low key. Oh, it's fun. I love you. Bye.
It's been fun. Hope we see each other again. And right. At that point, that's what we all were thinking. Yeah. You know, we're going to take a break right now and hear about my book, Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment. And when we come back with Bobby White, we're going to talk more about what it was like for her to begin her retirement right at the beginning of the pandemic. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Bobby White. She is a motivational humorist, a nationally recognized expert on laughter and humor therapy. She has been featured in the New York Times, Family Circle, First Magazine, and Newsweek Japan. On laughter as a current trend in the workplace, she was one of the first laughter leaders certified in the world by the World Laughter Tour, Inc. Her work in history includes Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge in Orlando, where she was the swim pro, the golf pro, but in the water. She has been in banking for over three decades through three economic cycles, three hair colors. Her success as a speaker and trainer is her conviction to what she believes are the two basic tenets of the adult learning experience. She adheres to food and fun, and that's something I think we can all agree with. Now, everyone, when this pandemic started baking bread. Now, did you jump on board for that trend?
You know, I did. Yeah, kind of a little. As in, I prefer to drink wine and maybe have someone else for me with it.
Yeah, it was hard. I noticed, the three hair colors. Well, as you can tell, like a lot of women, I went completely white during the pandemic. And of course, you had done that a long time ago. And
I liked seeing women feel the freedom to just be themselves, because you couldn't go.
Yeah.
And you could do it yourself. Oh my gosh, that's so. I like seeing women let go of their power.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're a motivational speaker and you work at women's conferences. And how did that fall off during the pandemic? Or were you able to continue doing that?
No. The thing is I chose not to do virtual presentations.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like my material lent itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the engagement and the contagiousness of laughter when people are in the room with me. And the other reason is because I was still working when the pandemic started, it was okay because a lot of speakers, that's their sole income.
Yeah.
And really care about speaking to them. If they need it, bless them. They can take the job. So I haven't spoken very much since the pandemic's been over.
Mm-hmm.
That's very disappointing, but I may have canceled myself out by not doing virtual presentations. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I would really entertain it. But, as a speaker, you need to do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Especially with humor, there's a lot of timing in that. So we'll see. But it wasn't forever. I chose for myself that wasn't.
Yeah. It's welcome back to Bobbi White. And she is definitely not a whiner because she is a winner. And she's never been a whiner. And I've known her for a long time. Bobbi, before we go on, could you share contact information for our listeners who want to get a hold of you,
sure,
who are interested in your website and
okay,
also your books and things you've got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. My email is Bobbi@trylaughter. I came up with some Google spelling of Bobbi. It's B-O-B-B-E.
Uh-huh.
Try Laughter, the normal way. You can email me there. You can me at 267-242-305. And then website has a different URL now. It's BobbiWhiteSpeaks.com.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was a change in providers, so I just renamed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. And so that's what we're going with. So yeah. As far as my books, you can get them on Amazon. So I did do during the pandemic was finish this one.
Oh, okay.
I had it been in progress for 5 or 6 years, and it was finally so I stress no equal Amazon. So or they reach out to me, and then the title tells me what it's about. So it's like the hear no evil, see no evil. Those guys. This is stress no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, to keep from going bad. Sorry.
Yeah. So now that you're officially retired and survived through a brief part of the pandemic, what do you feel about retirement? What's the best thing about it for you? And what's the worst thing?
The best thing for me is no schedule. I say that, but it's not totally true.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule, the Monday to Friday, you go at 8, get home at 5 or 6. Lunch hour is 1 hour. And that's just kind of, I just don't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You miss people, but we still see each other. I still have to go to the bank, or I make find reasons to go to the bank. So that's probably the best, though, twofold. I just suggest I get a personal trainer. And because of the pandemic, it's good to get out once things eased up a little bit. So I've been doing that for a year. I do it 2 scheduled mornings a week. Now, it's funny. That's okay to have that schedule because I love going.
Uh-huh.
And then I started yoga mornings a week.
Okay.
And so I've never been more active,
mm-hmm,
and that's a good thing. The worst thing of retirement, maybe for people like me, had things stack up, it's like, what am I going to do now? You know, I finished the book. Now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So dabbling in writing, finishing a second book, we can talk about later, and volunteer work, because I never really made a lot of time for that when I was trying to find my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then as far as writing, I don't know if we've talked about it before. Like, are you the type of writer that has to schedule it, or do you just, you know, I'm kind of like a hit and miss, so who ever knows what I'm going to be writing about or when, but are you more disciplined in that?
I don't know how disciplined it is. I'm mentally, my mind is sharp at 5 a.m. when we get up, and I do a lot of writing early in the morning, and when the house is quiet, dogs are still quiet.
Yeah.
Once the act rolling, involved in other ways, and I don't write in the evening, but I do take notes all day. When something hits me, write it down when the pen's hot, you know.
Yeah, that is very important to do that. As far as you're working on a second book now, can you tell us about it?
Of course. So this one as well is 6 years in the making. I'm kind of like, start these and they take forever, but we never finish. So I just finished it. I had a neighbor walk by the house and said, you know, how's your book? Like, yeah, you know, why didn't you just finish it? And I thought, hi.
You know, I think the key here is you never, never tell people you're working on a book.
Well, it worked out well because I got it done. It's about the fact that when Jeff and I had turned 60, we had four living parents all in the same town.
Uh-huh.
They were living in four different places. None of them were. And it was because of their health.
Uh-huh.
And it was just bananas for a while. And so basically, I helped my sister take care of my parents and his siblings take care of his parents. And he was there one night because he could write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Usual, and at our age, we would still have parents.
Yeah.
So I'm writing about the ups and downs and the whole reversals. Aging parents.
Okay.
But I'm also including, you can say it with loved ones, because it might be a spouse, it might be a sibling, it might be a friend, might be a child who are declining in health. So it's totally just for aging parents, but that's my reference point.
Mm-hmm.
So when I decided to write it, I talked to another author who did similar, and she said that probably wait till your parents pass, all of them. And it's like, well, that's morbid. But I did wait. Know why. Of course, it makes sense now. To finish till the end.
Yeah.
So Jeff's still living independently. She's amazing. She's 94.
Wow.
So it's, the title of it is called Wait, what? We're the parents? And that's because.
and how did that happen?
Parents, and you all, because they need it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to give a lot of examples. Fortunately, very funny when he had mental acuity and had dementia. Uh-huh. And just really pleasant throughout, and he was just a stitch. So I do have a lot of stories about him. I try to make it clear, I'm not making him, you know, because of a disease like that, but a lot of it is not facing on me because of the way he would too fun. So I hope it's fun for readers who are going through similar things. I'm like, okay, how you do it. She got through it, I got through it, and it's ups and downs. It's all over the place. So it's not easy. It's not. I remember my saying, as long as our people are living, we might as well work. I'm like, oh my gosh, longevity, and we work forever.
And of course, here you are. You're in the total of sandwich generation, because you've got the role reversal with your parents,
right?
And then at the other end, we've got all of our kids and grandkids coming up. It's very challenging.
It is.
Right now, we're going to hear a little bit about who killed Kennedy. Who do you think had the motive, the money, and the means to commit the perfect crime of the past century?
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back with my guest, Bobby White. Bobby is the author of a wonderful book called Life in the Laugh Lane. It's a book about navigating life's twists and turns with laughter. She divides her time between her company, which is called Try Laughter, her husband, and their children, and their dogs, of course. She is constantly embroiled in life's twists and turns at work and home. Bobby uses laughter to combat the stress we all experience daily, especially during these tense times and stressful times going through the pandemic. And when that doesn't work, she heads for the golf course, the swimming pool, or her therapeutic tool, the beagle, the dog. Aren't dogs wonderful, Bobby?
Absolutely. Well, that was the other thing I did at the beginning of my retirement. Like, actually 2 days before, we had had put our lab, Lily, in September of 2020.
Oh.
And I found a black lab pup, put a deposit down, and we picked her up on December 20th,
mm-hmm.
2 days before I retired, and we named her Snow White.
Okay.
And she is just delightful. So I spent a lot of my pandemic time in the house with a black lab puppy training me.
Well, we know what you're talking about. And it was like, I told you earlier, when we lost our dog, Zoe, after 12 and a half years, we were just desolate. And we came home and we just said, oh, there's no way we're going to get another dog. We just can't do it. The pain was so intense. However, you know, like within 2 weeks, there we were with a puppy. And we kind of found that we just couldn't live without a dog.
Well,
and I think for older people our age, it's really critical to have this little entity with you that takes your attention and helps you heal. Don't you agree?
Really. I mean, we went 3 days one time years ago, 3 days before we got our next dog. And my mom had always said, at least with pets, you can get another.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you replace them, but if you like dogs, as you and I do, you know, just it's going to bring a joy back that mm-hmm. you wouldn't have. And this dog we've got now, the sweetest thing. She's kind of obnoxious sometimes because she's so but she's just a killer. She's huge, and she's real quiet, and she goes in a circle on the foot stand and then pops down on your and I'll say, Jeff, can you get me coffee? She's on my, I just can't. Just...
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, and it's the thing I like the best about it is it gets us going again. So, like, now all of a sudden we're back walking 2-3 times a day. We go to the pooch park in our little community and meet with other dog owners and have a cocktail and visit and share dog stories. And it just expands your world. And you need it when you get older.
Yes. And if we're a single woman, the Western Hemisphere, girls, get a puppy.
Yeah.
Somebody will stop you and pet your dog, ask about your dog, and I'm telling you, if it's not the best bait I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, for any single man or woman, get a dog. Because
right.
we've been going with ginger ale to Costco. And I mean, some of these people have literally stalked us. Trying to find out who her breeder is and where we got her and, you know, all kinds of things. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if it were ever Leif or I alone with just the dog,
right.
you would meet more people than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, we were in Chicago a few weeks ago, and my dog has a black lab also.
Uh-huh.
And he's a guy, and he's quite but. She was babysitting a little, some fluffy dog. I don't even, oh, I know it was a Bernedoodle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, cute. And in Chicago, of course, a lot of people walk with dogs, but I was just amazed and amused at all the smiles
mm-hmm.
people will give you. And I couldn't get the dog to cross Michigan Avenue. And dash, I changed her life. And it, people were just laughing.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the coolest thing ever.
Okay, I'm going to change the topic now because I want to talk about your book, Stress No Evil. And this, you have 12 tips to tame the beast from going bananas. Could you just share a couple of those things with my listeners? Things that maybe would help us handle this time of pandemic better.
Sure, sure. So titles, No Evil, those are 12 letters. And what I did is I tied a tip, a stress management tip, to each letter.
Okay, I love
that. The first one, we don't have to go through all 12. Put your audience to sleep. But for sound or silence. And if you do travel by car, I know in big cities they often don't or can't,
uh-huh.
everything off and just feel the silence. It's
uh-huh.
instead, or in your house. You know, we're in our house a lot. We work. And the TV's going and, you know, sometimes it's just nice to turn everything off and feel the silence. And I find it calm. This would be for a time not tied to the solo or and that you're not a person. I give some ways to get yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like it, you can still do it. And before you do it, you gain confidence and you avoid the stress in those kinds of situations.
You know, it's so true because, like, we have found that we've had to turn the TV news off.
Oh,
yes. We can't handle it. I mean, we used to be so addicted to all the news shows, and now we've got both of the cars set so they have easy listening music, which is just right. And as far as the news, it's just too stressful. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I live with a man, which is ironic that I talk about humor and how to get rid of stress. And my husband can read, he reads like 11 news stories in the morning. Reads really fast and he retains it all.
Yeah.
He is just filled with negativity and he thinks of conversation and I just can't hardly take it.
Well, you know, we're right on board with you because we've now gotten to the point that we were skipping the new morning news because it's usually just so tragic and depressing and puts us in the fetal position.
Yeah.
And now we get the newspaper, we get the Tribune, and we get USA Today, and it ends up, we each end up doing a puzzle page.
Yes, absolutely. The crossword, the best.
Yeah, and you know, it takes us all day to do it, but it's definitely less stressful. Right now, we're going to talk about two of my books that feature priceless personalities. And of course, Bobby is one of the priceless personalities that's been featured in my books.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have struggled to find solutions? People who fearlessly shared their stories. People who have not only informed you, but inspired you. People who have priceless personalities. I have been fortunate to host an internet radio talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories. And it has been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. My guests have shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes in their own words. In this book, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects that are beyond traumatic. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They have amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them, and I adore sharing them with you.
Attention all listeners. Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, Volume 2 is now available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle editions. You'll be able to meet 10 amazing people who will be sharing their own personal stories with all their struggles, successes, and solutions sprinkled with lots of humor and hope. Priceless Personalities features a teenager who becomes one of the famous Supremes from Motown, a nurse who as a humorist helps people to heal, an inspiring laughter yoga instructor, a mother dealing with the loss of a child, an incredible motivational speaker, a woman who married 5 times, a gifted paranormal nurse, a wise economist, a funny female humorist, along with an older man sharing his sweet childhood in the Deep South. January's guests are all amazing and amusing. You will never forget meeting them. Go to Amazon.com for your own priceless experience.
Welcome back with my friend, my dear friend, humorist Bobby White. Bobby, you know, I was looking at your resume and you have so many interesting topics, life in the laugh lane, Try Laughter, which is your company, and I love the one, my life's out of balance, it's worse than my checkbook, which is one of the things that you do as a keynote speaker and motivator. Now, before the show ends, let me ask you a question. Okay, so if you could choose one person, well, besides me, who you would like to have dinner with, living or dead, who would you want to spend some time with, and whose brain would you like to pick?
Hmm.
It could be two people.
Two people? Okay.
Yeah. One is too hard.
One is. I think if Robin were living, I think that would be a trip. And to have dinner with him, because he was so amazing. That person would probably be Queen Elizabeth. How about?
Wow, yeah. Well, you'd have to wear your pearls and a hat, you know. Yeah, that I get, and especially now with her approaching her anniversary, what a life story she's had. Yeah.
The series The Crown, and I just can't really get enough of it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, when we were based in London for 1 year, and I'll never forget, we went to, there was a royal wedding at St. Margaret's, which is the chapel next to the big chapel, the big church, and she was coming to attending, and my girlfriend and her husband, they were with us, and we went and stood in line, and we put on our hats and our pearls, and it was so exciting, because she just comes and does this little hand thing.
Got it down. Nobody can do it like her.
I know. Now, looking back on everything, if you had, do you have any regrets or things you wish you could do over? What would you do differently?
You know, everybody at our age always says no, because that path has made everything roll in or out lives, and so it's hard to say I would change this or that. I might have thought that when I was speaking for 20 years, which I love being on the platform, I love helping people look at things a different way. I had to do it part-time because I was still working at the bank full-time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been fun to have done it full-time, just for maybe a year or something. Uh-huh. And I didn't get that opportunity. I was hoping it would be when I retired. You know, it may not happen. I think that there's quite an audience for the aging parents thing.
Yeah.
And I don't have all the answers, but I know how we got through it. So that would probably be it. Now, the other thing, the other regret I have is I played golf from age 22 to maybe 45.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then stopped. And it was kind of like when my kids went to college. And then there really was no excuse. But now I start off again. I'm absolutely a beginner status.
Okay, yeah.
Stayed on the game because my muscles don't have the memory to.
Yeah. Well, you know that I have such wonderful, as you know, I played a lot of golf too, and I have such wonderful memories of time spent with girlfriends and other couples and the social part of it. Physically, it's a little more challenging since I've had all my body parts replaced. It's kind of, I'm the bionic woman. But it was interesting. The other day we went with our daughter and our youngest grandson, who's 10, and we went to a bowling alley, and they were bowling, and all of a sudden we jumped up and were bowling. And it was so much fun. And I thought, oh, we have to do this more often.
Yeah.
Get out of your comfort zone and try something different.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that I picked up again at retirement last summer. Then the course opened up again. And I've never been one to have a community of women. I have a friend here and there, and they're a little, but But if I had a favorite friend's party, nobody would each other. So the ladies golf league on Tuesday mornings, which is why I'm dressed with them, because we golfed this morning.
Good.
Has really provided a community of women that I know I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would enjoy so much. And so that has really been a positive.
Yeah. And do you, after you play, do you go out to lunch or have a drink or do something social?
Sometimes we do, right. Yeah, I've done everything to playing euchre, to going over to a housewarming party. And they were really good about including me. I was kind of the new kid on the block. Besides, I knew a lot of them, like casual acquaintance, but I really feel close to a lot of them. I just love them.
Well, you know, and it's a fun thing to do. Every other Wednesday, I have a group of gals that I've met since I got down here to Sarasota who are writers and doing a few little artistic things. And we meet every other Wednesday for lunch, and it's like religion.
Yeah,
we don't skip it. It's like very sacred. You think, you know, you're too old for, you know, new friends, but you're never too old.
No.
And it's always fun to meet new people. And everyone at this stage is so open to helping, encouraging. It's a gift to give yourself.
It is. And another thing I was asked to join was it's a literary group. I don't really know what to call it. It's not a book club, but every year they pick a topic and then there's 25 subtopics. So this year was the Roaring Twenties and then everybody had a piece of that.
Uh-huh.
Next, the National Park System, and this will be my first paper and it has to be for 40 minutes, so I have to delve into an area I know absolutely nothing about. But another group of women that I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
And my fourth grade teacher's even in it.
Oh, wow, small world. What comes around goes around.
Yeah.
You know, in closing, I want to thank my amazing guest, Bobby White. And remember to go to her website. All the information is below on the chat line underneath our show. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us together. We have tried to be informative and we have tried to be inspiring. My upcoming guests will all be eclectic, exciting, and energizing, just like Bobby. Next Tuesday, live at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be sharing another success story with you. Be sure to sign on to my website. Now my 78-year-old thought for the day. You know, God promised men that good and obedient wives would be found in all corners of the world. Then he made the earth round, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed. So now, good wives, thank you for entering the wine zone, no wine zone with me, and share our stories and our show with everyone you know. Remember, stop whining, start smiling, and if that doesn't work, then you can just start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Take care and stay safe until we meet again. And I want to give Ginger another opportunity to say goodbye to everyone. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.